3. Lord, really laid this on my heart to teach this. It's a little different than in some ways, as the scripture kind of shows here, talking about the last days. But there's only 3 verses I'm really going to really concentrate on and dwell on. Will be verse 1, verse 5, and verse 7. Now, before we get started, there's something I want to kind of bring out just a little bit about this. You know, in our day and age that we live in, we wonder why people do what they're doing in the day and age that we live in. And I wondered, and of course my wife, and I'm sure a lot of y'all have at different times, how people have gone just crazy. Our politicians have gone crazy. Our country's gone crazy. They have no respect. They're traitors and they're heady and they're high-minded. And they're all of these things. And as I looked at this, I thought, well, you know, people know how crazy this world is, but the thought I really had is, why are they crazy? And I kind of wanted to know, why in the world are people the way they are? And I thought, well, everything goes back to sin. You can blame it on that. But really, there's reasons for this, how the world has changed, how churches have changed, how Christians have changed, and why the world is the way it is. Now, I'm going to read the 3 verses, and then we're going to start with verse 7. Verse 1, this says, the Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Verse 5, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Verse 7, "Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth." And as I thought about this, and that verse 7 really stuck out, all 3 of these verses God really spoke to me in my heart about. And I got to thinking about this, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. And really what we're really talking about here is actually verse 1, 5, and 7 when we talk about being spiritual and the church is being spiritual and how people are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now, one reason is the word spiritual, and I want to kind of clarify this and kind of bring this out. I want you to really pay close attention to what these few things I'm going to bring out about being spiritual, what it actually is. The word spiritual actually refers to non-material things. Don't have anything to do with material assets. Now, the most important use of the word is in reference to the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Because God is a spirit, and you're going to worship Him in spirit and in truth, or you're not going to worship Him. The next thing is, we will not become spiritual until you and I, or the lost people, are born again of the Spirit of God. Now, in John, as you well know, he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You've heard that time and time again. But I want you to think about something just for a second. When a baby is born in this world, they're born physically. They're not born spiritually. All right? They get born spiritually when God deals with them, convicts with them. They hear the Word of God. And we are born into God's kingdom spiritually. And when we're born into God's kingdom spiritually, we are just like a babe. Doesn't matter if you're 30 years old, don't matter if you're 10 years old, or if you're 50 years old, you are spiritual, but yet you've got a lot of growing to do. So as we look at that, on that aspect, it's amazing how a lot of times we think physically, as we go about our daily life, that we're spiritual. Well, the Bible says either you walk in the Spirit or you walk carnally. There's not an in-between. There's no gray areas. It's either one or the other. So as we look at this, either you're going to be spiritual or you're going to be walking carnally, even though you may have been born in the church of God, the Spirit of God. Now, a Christian can walk just as carnally as a lost person. And they can do just as ungodly things as a lost person. I know, been there, done that. So I can tell you all about it. But it's amazing how you and I think when a person gets born again spiritually and we come to church and everybody's a Christian, they just going to do the right thing. Well, they're not. I don't. You don't. And as far as I know, nobody as a Christian lives a perfect life. Our goal is to be spiritual and strive for that perfection. And that's what we need to do and that's what we should do. But in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, in a sense, every blessing is from the Spirit. Not only that, our understanding of the truth in this world that we have is of the Bible. Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. So, why do we know the difference when these people in verse 7 do not? They're ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Well, they're not born again spiritually. When a person is dead spiritually, never been born again, don't you stop and think about it, they are just as a dead person. They can't see, they can't feel, they don't know one thing about what the spiritual world actually is. Only you and I that's born again can really relate to the spiritual world and the truth that's in this book that is God's Word. Because when you hear the preaching of the Word, it touches your heart, it illuminates your eyes, it opens your ears, it opens your heart, and you know what you need to do. You know the truth. There's no denying. You know when God speaks. You know when God speaks to you. You know what you need to do and what you should do. Now, a lot of times we know what to do, but we don't do. That's just part of being a Christian walk. I do it, you do it, everybody does it. But there's no excuse for it. I'm just saying we do it. All right, the next thing I want you to really realize, when we sing songs, in order for it to be effective, it has to be spiritual, not carnal. It has to be spiritual. Next thing, as we talk about this, is the ability to understand the Scripture. The Holy Spirit will give you the ability to know the Word of God if you want to know it. The next thing here is I want you to realize, now I want you to, if you could write this one down, I really want you to write it. We are to be dominated by the Spirit of God as a Christian. In other words, totally controlled when God speaks to you for us to do the will of God and to be dominated by His will and not ours. Now, that is spiritual. I'm just kind of laying out a background here as we really get into this. Now, in verse 1, Paul here is telling Timothy something. And let's take a look at it. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, why did Paul write to Timothy about this? Timothy is the first part of the church. They had problems then too. They had some of this in the early church as well as we have in the last days. Now, the difference is there's 19 different things listed here as what's going to happen in the last days. But not only 19 things, they more than 19 things. If you want to go to other parts of the Bible, there's several more that's brought out about what's going to take place in the last days. Now, the last days actually is a technical term. It's used in several places in the New Testament. And what it means or what it does, it precedes the rapture of the church. In other words, what's taking place when we say the last days is the church is going to go up to, and then we're raptured out. So the last days is what we're in until the rapture takes place, or until one of us dies or whatever and goes to heaven right on. But the last days is a technical term. But also, and this is important also, in the Old Testament, the last days, actually, they're called the end of age or at the time of the end. There's a difference. Because after the rapture, at the time of the end, as you well know, God's go back dealing with Israel, 144,000 go preach all over the world, and it goes in to the end of age till Jesus comes back at the end of the age to start His 1,000-year millennial reign. And I'm just kind of closing all this down because you could stay in all these places everywhere, so I'm just trying to kind of condense this so we can really get a handle on it. Now, but also, like I said, perilous times means difficult, means troublesome, it means trying, it means uneasy, it means hard, it means violent, it means threatening. That's what perilous time actually means. It has a lot of different meanings that you and I relate to as we go and live our life. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The church today is living in dangerous times and perilous times. I never thought I'd ever see you'd have to have a police out here to protect the church. I never thought I'd see somebody go in and kill kids at a schoolhouse. I never thought I'd see our president attacked constantly. No matter what president it would be, that they would treat a man such as that holds the office of the United States, no matter who it is. Now, it's amazing as we look at this, but why do people do that? Well, for one thing, they're ever learning. They're never able to come to the knowledge of truth because they are dead in trespasses and sin, and they are not spiritual. They don't know one thing about the spiritual world. All they know is the carnal world. And sin has got so much control this day and age that they feel like they can do anything and everything and get away with it. And pretty much do, to be honest with you. Now, I want to talk to you just a little bit about Noah, talking about in the last days. But now I want to explain something to you about Noah. And if you got your Bibles, go ahead and go to chapter 6 in Genesis. Now, Noah is actually going to go through the tribulation period, as in the days of Noah. And I want to kind of clarify something here, and I want us to get a good look at this as in the days of Noah. Now, the reason I want to bring this out, because in Noah's time and in our time, there's a parallel. And when the Bible talks about that going as in the times of Noah, he's talking about actually the end of age. In other words, as say the church is raptured, for an example. All right, as Noah's time, I want you to realize something, that the Holy Spirit is going to be gone, the hinderer is going to be gone, and sin will be rampant totally 100% because there is no restraint whatsoever. The day you and I live in, the Holy Spirit still restrains sin where we realize it or not. In other words, it's going to get worse as time goes on, especially after the rapture of the church, and that's what I'm trying to get across to you. After the rapture of the church, there's no bars to hold anything back whatsoever. Now, let's look at times of Noah here just for a second, and what I want to do is parallel us as Christians I'm not talking about the end of age. I'm talking about in the last days, how we need to look at things. All right. In verse 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Now, I'm just kind of amazed at verse 5 there, 6 and 5. There's four words I want you to take a look at. One is great. And you'll find all of these in that verse. One is ever. One is only and continually. And as we look at this, if we look at our day and age, people's thoughts this day and age is more continually on evil than it ever has been. And it's going to whack worse now as even as we get closer to the rapture, things are going to get worse. It's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. All right, let's go down to verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Have you ever seen so much violence in our day and age as we ever seen? So as we look at Noah, we can really understand what the Bible's talking about, especially even in the last days and even at the end of age, as Noah's time, because they're going to be married and given in marriage. It's the same. It's going to be just like it is today, except there will be no restraint whatsoever during that tribulation period. There's going to be judgment coming during that time because God's going to send it. But anyway, as we look at this, verse 13, God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Through them, behold, I will destroy with the earth. You'll take notice here in verse 11 and verse also 13, he spoke of violence twice. Violence is going to get worse and worse. It's corrupt. But also, if you'll read here more and more, and I'm not going to take time to do all that, it says that the whole earth was corrupt. In other words, what they did in Noah's day, I want you to listen to this, they took God out of everything. What are we doing? We're taking God out of everything. We've done it. That's why they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. But one thing they didn't do in Noah's day, even though they took God out of everything, and even though that Noah found grace, I never read where they said God was dead. What about America today? What have you heard? God dead? Yeah, it's been proclaimed. God is dead. Well, He ain't dead. He's not dead whatsoever. But in some ways, we're even worse. But they were totally corrupt in Noah's day and age. That's why the Bible goes back and talks about that. But it's a parallel to us. In Noah's day, we can parallel it to us. And as Noah goes on in, I really feel sorry for them folks. Because I'm glad I'm not going to have to be here. Now, I'll just be honest with you. Now, let's go ahead and go back to, let's go ahead and go back to Timothy. And as we look at this, there's a lot here. Now, why do people do not accept God as we look at this? I'm just amazed at how people does not accept God whatsoever. And even in the day and age that you and I live in, how many people do we see saved day and age we live in? Now, I remember when I was little. I know we'll forget it. I guess I was about 7. Me and my mother went to a revival. It was about 50 got saved in that little revival that one night. It's mind-boggling. But people hear the Word of God today and do not do one thing to it. You remember the little word that I taught last time, submitting? Well, what it is, they do not want to submit to God to do His will. And the church today, as a whole, if you'll look all across our nation, they do not want to submit to God to do the will of God. In every church, all of us at different times, do not submit to the will of God, no matter who we are. And I'm really kind of amazed at that. But this, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 15, the unbelieving reject willfully, always, and deliberately. He sees, hears, and yet he refused to really open their eyes. They rebel and refuse to understand. This is why they're learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Here's a list of things that is in that Matthew 13 and 15 that takes place. They harden their hearts. They deafen their ears. They deny what they see. They refuse to understand. They fight salvation. They reject Christ. And Matthew 13 and 15 is kind of amazing. As we look at that, it's really what they'll do. Let's get over here and I'll just go ahead and read it. For this the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. You know, that's an amazing statement of what God said there. Now, I want you to take notice. It didn't say God hardened their hearts. If you'll look at each one, it says they. Now, that's amazing when you stop and think about it. They did it. They do not want to understand and learn about God whatsoever. And that's amazing. Now, why does men do that? It would be the question. Why would people, they, don't want to know about the Lord Almighty? Why? Well, John 3 and 19, the Bible says, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Psalms 52, verse 3, thou man lovest evil more than good and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Proverbs 2 and 14, the Bible says, we rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked. 2 Thessalonians, the Bible says, they believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. This is why they do what they do. They do not want to retain God in their knowledge whatsoever. And I'm kind of amazed at this as we look at it. But there is a but here. And I want to bring out something to you. What about our Lord Jesus Christ? Now, and I mentioned that, and you're kind of puzzled when I say that because I'm talking about these lost people that's rejecting God. They're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. That's why they do what they do. But let's talk about God. God has remembered man even though they don't want to remember Him. Now, how has God remembered man? And why should God even remember us? What have we done that God should remember, even you and I that's born again, really? Now, He died for us. He forgave us. I know all that. I understand that. But I want you to stop and think about it. He didn't have to. He didn't have to come to me. I lived ungodly. I didn't want Him. You reject Him. But yet, He remembered me. He remembered you. That's amazing when you stop me. He's the God of this universe. He don't have to have me. He don't have to have you. And I've told Brother Mike, He don't have to have me to teach His book. None whatsoever. He don't need me. I need Him. And I have to have Him. There's no way around it. But it's amazing. I want you to think about something else. He done something else, so trying to get man to remember Him. Number one is, if you'll read your Bible a lot, you'll find this out. And these lost people are not going to have an excuse when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You say, well, what if they never went to church? What if they've never heard the gospel? Well, you say, is God fair? They're going to go to hell? Yeah. And I'll tell you why. Because He set the stars that they could see that there's a being. He let that sun come up every morning and sets every afternoon. No, it's everything's in total order. God controls all of that. They see all of that. They know all of that. And yet they want to come up with all this coming out of monkeys. amazes me. God has showed the whole world that He exists through His creation. So they are without excuse, no matter what. They're not going to have a leg to stand on. They're without excuse. Men do not like to retain God in their knowledge. They do not want to recognize God, as we done talked about. They do not want to acknowledge Him. They're lovers of self. They're covetous. They're disobedient. They're corrupt. They are. It's just amazing. Now, what is the worst thing out of all these 19 things here that's listed? What is the worst thing or the worst sin that creates more problem than anything? Can you name me one of them? Don't you think about it. What is the worst thing that takes place in America today? Is it the corruptness? Is it the sin? That's part of it. Has a lot to do with it. But what is the worst thing? What is the worst thing that happens in America today? Well, in 2 Timothy, verse 5, the churches, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, how has the churches changed? How has God, the God of people, changed? The church is changing fast, ever changing here as we look at this. I'm amazed at how we look at this. In Matthew 15, verse 8, the Bible says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." In other words, they say they know God. They say they're saved, and they know God, and they honor Him, but their works and their heart is nowhere near Him. Now, as we look at this, and I wondered about the churches, and I want to bring out something about some churches. Some things that I know personally. There is a church within 2 miles of our house. And we've been there. And this church goes strictly on tradition. This is what they do. You say, well, all churches are traditional to a certain degree. And yes, we are. But the pastor of that church was trying to make some changes of tradition, which was biblical, by the way. I'm not talking about just his opinion. It was biblical. And you know what they told him? I don't care what you read out of that book. We do it. We do it this way, our way. We've always done it this way, and this is the way we're going to do it. Tradition. Didn't matter what the Word of God said. It mattered about their tradition. Now, I had a friend of mine tell me about another church in Lincoln, Alabama. And this church was trying to get all the young people in as much as they could, because we need all the young people in the church as much as you can, because otherwise the church is going to die, right? You got to get these young people in. But let me explain something to you how they were getting them in. Now, they were allowed to come in the sanctuary, shorts, dress any way they want to. Boys wore hats or caps, you know how they wear their ball caps, and didn't have to take them off in the sanctuary. They were catering to the young people to try to get them in church, but dropping their standards. Well, on Sunday night, young people didn't come back, so they had to shut down Sunday night service. What did they accomplish? What did they accomplish? Had the right idea. But if this don't get them, there's nothing going to get them. Remember what I said spiritually? You got to be dominated by the Spirit of God. They have to be spiritual. The leader's got to be spiritual. The preacher's got to be spiritual. You've got to be spiritual. It takes everybody. It's not just one. It's the body. All of us. Has to be where God wants us to be. Spiritual. Now, there's a church in Birmingham called Church of the Highlands. And I'm kind of amazed at this church. I call it the Satellite Church. And what they do, they have one main building in Birmingham, and they got other buildings out in different towns, and they got three services, one early, one middle, and say about lunch, okay? And they preach the same message, but the preacher ain't there. They got a big TV or a big screen. They come dressed any way they want to. They got food for them, got coffee for them, and they sit down and they watch the preacher preach. Satellite church. If I'm going to do that, I just stay home, watch it on TV. Now, the day and age that you and I live in, the church is changing a lot. It's changing before our eyes. Now, let's say that we want to be spiritual. Let's say that we want to be a better Christian and get more spiritual. How do you become more spiritual? How do you do what God wants you to do, and how does the church? Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm not trying to be ugly about churches. I'm not trying to put any church down in all reality. But I'm going to tell you something. On Sunday, I want to ask you a question. How many churches are going to one service on Sunday? Period. Changing. Now, I know some great preachers that has churches and preach in this. I'm talking about good preachers. But what is Sunday? Nowhere in the book now, I'm going to explain this to you. Nowhere in the book are you going to find where it says we have to have service on Sunday night. I hadn't read it. It ain't there. But what is Sunday? Is it the Lord's Day? Is it set aside to worship Him? Is it set aside to serve Him that one day out of the week? I'm old fashioned. Yeah, buddy. I can't help it. To me, Sunday night service is just as important as Sunday morning service. Another thing that churches have done, they've cut out Sunday school. Now that's a pet peeve of mine. I'll be the first one to tell you, because that's where my work has always been. And I am prejudiced when it comes to Sunday school, because I know what I'm supposed to do. But God did not give spiritual gifts for people to be teachers and not use it. Now that's book. Because He gives some pastors, some teachers, deacons, helps if you study all of that. God done it to have a particular reason for it. But now, I want to ask you a question. Why should we have Sunday night service? Now, this would be the key, because you stop and think about it. Our church is totally filled on Sunday morning. How am I talking about this packed? Sunday night, it really drops off. Wednesday night, even a little bit more. But that's okay. I'm going to be here. Because I don't come for you. I come for me. Because I need it. I have to have it. But I want you to stop and think about it just for a second. How do you get spiritually stronger? Now, I want to use a word that you and I can kind of relate to in the day and age about computers. You download what? Apps? Is that right? If you'll notice in the way I'm talking, you know I'm not very computer smarts. I'll put it to you that way. I'm just kind of illiterate when it comes to computers, because I just don't like them. But you download things. You download information. Am I correct? Well, have you ever thought about downloading the Word of God in your little computer in your brain. And why would you do that? Well, I want you to stop and think about this just a minute. As we look at this, we need to download God's Word. Psalms 119, verse 28, you can write this down. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. We download the strength of God spiritually in our minds and in our hearts when we hear the Word of God. So on Sunday night, the reason I come, I got to have the Word of God to help me get through the week. It's like, and you've heard this said before, how many times would that you get fed by the Word of God? How many times have you heard that? I need a feeding. I need to hear from God. Am I correct? Well, I want to ask you a question. How many times do you eat physically? But yet you don't want to eat spiritually. Why is that? The only way that you're going to get strengthened and grow stronger as a Christian is by hearing and absorbing and downloading the Word of God in your mind and in your heart and in your soul. Strengthen my soul spiritually. This is His world. We're here physically, but we should download His Word. Not only that, we download God when we worship Him. When we lift Him up. It's spiritually. When songs are sang and the preacher has preached, just like I'll just use Sunday morning for an example. How many hearts did the Word of God touch? It wasn't the preacher. It was the Word of God. People downloaded. They needed some help. You can come and get it. Well, if you're not here and you don't have service, what happens? You don't get nothing. You miss it. And then, churches don't even want to have teachers to teach the babies. But let me ask the question. Is it the churches or is it the people don't want to work? Have you thought about that one? How many times and that you're able to get people to really work for the and function in the church as it should? You know it, I know it. Now, it's something else. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible says, strengthen with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. In other words, the only way that you're going to be a strong Christian is by the Lord Himself, strengthening you through His power. You cannot, how many times have you heard, you can't live a Christian life on your own. It's not in you. Unless you allow God to work through you and strengthen you and grow you as a Christian. It's the only way around it. Now, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now, it talks about false prophets. It talks about false Christ that we're going to have to deal with. It talks about false teachers. We have it all. The difference between now and the early church is they had part of it. Our day and age that we live in, we have all of this and more that you and I are going to have to deal with on a daily basis. And if we do not download the Word of God, we're going to be in trouble. Because we will not be strong enough to overcome what God would have us to do. It's that simple. And I'm amazed how people don't want to hear the Word of God. Now, I'm going to throw something else at you. How many times have you heard of being hardened by the gospel? You hear it so much, you hear it so much, and it goes in one ear and out the other. Now, I want to ask you a question, too, about the form of God. You know what a form is? Now, a form is many different things. Now, if you want to pour some cement, you got to what? You got to build a form. For what? To hold what? The cement. Till it hardens, right? You can go to the beach. Get you a bucket of water. Pour it on the sand and build what? A castle or whatever you want to build. But it's a form. It's something that you design. Well, the churches are forming different than the way it used to be, than from the old-timey way. Now, it's a form of godliness, but denying the power. Now, in Revelation, the Laodicean church means power of the people. And the reason that ministers, preachers, have given to the people wanting certain things. Now, I want you to think about this just for a second. I'm amazed. I talked to a preacher one time. I was sitting just, me and him just sitting talking. And I asked him a question. I said, what happened to the line in the sand? I've heard it preached my whole life. Well, here it is. Boom. This is what we got to do. Boom. Well, I asked him about it. He said, we have moved it back. It's his exact words. You can't move God's Word back. You got to stand on it. You got to download it. You got to put it in your soul and in your heart. Now, the question I wanted to ask you for an example is, what do you do with the Word of God when you hear it? A lot of people say, well, you know, people get gospel hardened. I call it just nonchalant. They're just content. In other words, there's nothing wrong with me. You tune it out, as old saying goes, to a certain degree. I know of a couple, and this is what we deal with in this day and age. They're married. And one believes in the old-timey way. One wants to go the liberal way. And they fuss and fight over it. And that ain't what the Bible says. What's wrong with the old-timey way? What's wrong with it? There's nothing wrong with it. Not one thing. But people want a new form, a new change, a new direction. Let me ask you something. Does God change? What does He say? I change what? I change not. Then why should His people change? We should. Our problem is we want to do everything within our own power to accomplish what we want to do in our own self, being selfish and self-centered. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I'm amazed at how people don't want to hear the Word of God. I'm amazed at how many people don't want to do the Word of God, much less hear it. And I'm amazed that when you hear the gospel so much, I'll just use this for an example, it's kind of like a marriage. How many of you sometimes take your marriage for granted? Especially if you've been married a while. Easy to do, ain't it? I can tell you. Been there. Done that. Still do it every once in a while. Take it for granted. We do. But we shouldn't. And you do not need to take the Word of God for granted and do not apply it to your life and say, well, this one needs it over here more than I need it. Oh, no. I come back because I need it. I have to have it in order. Listen. For me to just stay between the ditches. That's what I call it. Stay on that path. That path is straight and real narrow. And I can get off of it real easy. And the Word of God, what did I tell you? It's the truth. That's how I know where to get. It guides me. It directs me. It takes me in a direction that I need it to go. Download it. Take hold of it. Use it. Don't just put it in the computer. Use it. You will get stronger. Your prayer life. Now, I'm going to say this. I know some people that their gift is being a prayer warrior. I'm amazed at how they can just pray. I love to pray it in when I'm studying and when I'm in my office and I get down and it's my closet. That's when I'm the happiest praying. I can get a hold of Him. And I know Him. And I can get a hold of Him. And He can show me what I need and speaks to me. And I know what I need to teach. And I know the lesson that He wants. Now, I miss it sometimes. Don't get me wrong. I'm not perfect. But I know the voice of God. And I know when He speaks. And I'm here to tell you, let's do not forget about the Word of God. That's how important it is. Do not forget your prayer life. Do not forget to raise your hands and worship God. Do not forget to sing and song and lift Him up and praise Him. It's all about Him. Let the Spirit dominate your life. Period. Period. Now, you want to walk carnally? You'll reap what you sow. You want to walk spiritually? You will reap spiritually. The choice is yours. But what happened to the churches? What's happened? Now, I'm talking about I'm through, basically, but heard a fellow say one time, I go to a big church because when I'm out, they don't even know I'm out. And I've heard people say, I want to go to a little church. I don't want to go to a big church. They're so spiritual. Well, in little churches, about as dead as a doornail, about half of them. It's how we look at things. Our concern is not where it's big or where it's small. Our concern is how we are worshiping and praising Him, giving Him honor and giving Him glory, and let us be a spiritual church as God would have us to be. Brother Mike.